Scuttlebucks, and away we go. It is great to be with you on a Friday. Hope you're well. Bucks on the road, taking on the Saints. And a quarterback we know. Weird year for Jameis Winston. We'll get into that, what we're going to face here with the 6-1 Bucks taking on the 4-2 Saints, second place team in the division. And welcome in. I'm Jeff. That is Tom. And Bill Curry Ford allows us to do this. Thank you, Bill Curry Ford. You can go see him right there by the stadium. They've been a pillar in the community for a long, long time, 60 years, something like that, I think I remember.
Forever and a day since, I mean, we were growing up. I remember Bill Curry Ford commercials. Yeah,
me too. If you want to perhaps lease a new truck or see what they've got going on over there, Sean Sullivan is the GM. You can find his email on the station. The actual location, you can go on their website, BillCurryFord.com, and you can find it there. So he'll help you out personally. I know that. And you can tell him that you want the Joe Bucks fan discount, and he'll probably hook you up. So that's our way of saying thank you, Bill Curry Ford. Thank you, Sean Sullivan. Thank you for letting us do this show. I would ask you, Tom, do you have a good feeling again this week? Is it a ho-hum sort of game? I think it is.
Since it's there, I suppose it could get a little bit dicey. What I'm looking at, just the metrics of what New Orleans has done so far this season, they stopped the run. They always have. Mm-hmm. I mean, even before Brady got here, it was quite obvious that you weren't going to be able to run the ball with consistency. If you did, it was an outlier day. Their coverage has been suspect this year. So I find that very interesting.
Well, we know a certain corner that dominates one Mike Evans.
Correct. It would be nice to have Gronk back for this particular matchup. It would be nicer to have Antonio Brown if you're just looking for other options for Brady. But if it's a chess match, we're trading queens, right? Evans and Lattimore. There they go. They're off the board. And now let's play with the rest of the pieces. That's the way I look at the Bucs offense going against the Saints defense. Still have too many weapons. What I'm very interested in this particular game is how often can our backs see Gio Bernard in certain circumstances, but specifically Leonard Fournette. How often can they get open in the passing game? Because to me, the Saints historically do quite a good job of covering from the linebacker position, if not across the board in the secondary. I think that might be the third option this weekend for the Bucs, would be the pass catching out of the backfield. But we'll see. Maybe New Orleans is up to the task there. The thing is that on the other side of the ball, you've got Jameis, who can't throw for 200 yards anymore. That's the way that season's going.
It's very strange.
They don't have a whole ton of wide receiver weapons. They're going to feature the hell out of Kamara. They just got Mark Ingram. You can see what they're doing here. That now that they realize that Kamara is going to have to be their primary receiver. So what are you going to do? That means Ingram is going to take the load between the tackles. And I'm looking at a weak secondary because we're banged up every week. It looks like Jamel Dean's going to play and Desir is out. So there's another dude. I saw the article on Joe Bucks Fan today. Somebody who worked with Todd Bowles back in the day with the Jets. We've got a bunch of, I mean, it's a mash unit in the secondary against a team that really can't pass the football. You've got weakness against weakness in that phase of the game.
Yeah, Jamel Dean did practice yesterday, full participation. That's good news. Limited participation for Levante David. Antonio Brown did not practice at all yesterday. Dee Delaney, another corner, did not practice at all. Rob Gronkowski was limited. He did participate.
Maybe I meant Delaney and not Desir.
Yeah.
Forgive me. I mean, we're like 19 deep in the defensive backfield.
I know. Yeah. Gronk participated but was limited. Howard, that's O.J. Howard, full participation. But you talk about a mash unit. We did not have Jason Pierre-Paul. He did not practice yesterday. Richard Sherman, of course, is still rehabbing the hamstring. He did participate a little bit. Ndamukong Suh did not practice yesterday with a knee. I don't know, man. Giovanni Bernard did practice yesterday. That's real good news. It's that list is long. You have to scroll when you go check the injury report for the Bucks.
Now, the good news is you got the bye week after this. So,
lay it on the line, boys.
Lay it on the line. Hey, JPP played last week, and he played quite well without practicing the entirety of the week leading up to the Bears game. So, why would this be any different? I would expect him to play. Now, that's not insider status. I'm just saying, if he was good enough to not practice and play last week, why would it be any different this week, especially with the bye on the other side of it? But if you can just get to this finish line, put yourself in a tie with the other NFC powers now that Arizona lost on Thursday Night Football.
What a game. It turned out to be good.
For home football or home field advantage throughout the NFC football playoffs. All right. Then you can rest and we can worry about Washington in 2 weeks' time. But you need to push it. Even if this car is starting to sputter a little bit with the injury bug, push it across the finish line. The good news is, even with all these offensive targets out, I mean, Chicago's not a bad defense, and you're able to tune them up for 35 points and a half. We'll see if the show comes on the road.
Yeah, they were missing some pieces in the game against us, and it showed. They also seemed fairly disinterested in pretty early on when they realized it was about to be put on them. They kind of laid down. The Saints are not going to do that. They're a game back of you. They are at home. They swept you last year in the regular season, and that's one of the reasons that I get hyped for this game is that, you know, listen, we lost the battle during the regular season, won the war, won the Super Bowl. That's great. Head of schedule. I want the division. I want to win it. I like putting those in the coffers. I like having those up on the wall. You know, we gotta, yeah, let's go ahead and go win this game now.
Two Super Bowls, but if you look at that indoor practice facility, there aren't that many banners.
No. No, I want to add banners. Yeah, I want to add banners. So you got to beat the Saints, and you couldn't last year during the season. And really, probably the worst game I've ever seen Tom Brady play was the blowout loss to the
Sunday
Saints.
Night Football.
Was that the 38-3? Was that what That was an ass-beating of epic proportions. We were horrible in that game. He was terrible in that game. It was something to behold. It seems like a million years ago that happened, but it was just last year.
Oh, yes, and it continued the trend, which was in prime time, we did not play very well. You got the Bears game, he forgot the amount of downs there were. The Giants game was all too close. The Saints game, we lost to Jared Goff and the Rams last year. It was just, I mean, I remember when we got the prime time matchup against Washington in the first round of the playoffs. We're like, well, there's something about night kicks. Is Brady going to sleep too early, and so therefore he's tired? Like, I mean, they were asking fundamental questions like that.
Well, and it's funny, this week he was asked a lot of questions about his career against the Saints, and he's 4-3. He's never played really well, and even in the playoffs when we beat the Saints, he wasn't the reason. If I remember correctly, he completed well under 60% of his passes in that game. I think it was 53, 54%, something like that. He wasn't good.
Yeah, the defense got us over there.
Yes, so I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's personnel. I mean, obviously, it's two different teams you're talking about. It's strange, but he's never played well against the Saints. And, well, let's go. Here's your chance. Because in a lot of ways, Tom, this is a Tom Brady game.
Yeah, 18 of 33 for $199 and two scores. Now, if you are a league average quarterback, you'll take that all day. If you're Brady, those are underwhelming numbers.
Yeah, he didn't throw any. The big thing was he didn't have any turnovers, if I recall.
That's right.
But he threw for under 200 yards. That's not getting it done, man.
He also snuck it in for another touchdown, so he had three total touchdowns in the game. But what you saw was Fournette, 17 for 63, which is all right. Ronald Jones, 13 for 62. So the two tailbacks for the Bucs were able to average around 4 yards a carry, which is not an easy thing to do against New Orleans.
Yeah, it's a fun game. It's not one I'm overly worried about. Ordinarily, I wouldn't say that. The Saints have really had their way with us in the regular season for a long time. So it's just weird to be in a place where I watch the Bucs now and the thought isn't about losing, it's about getting better and getting healthier. It's always it's something that has nothing to do with the opponent. It has everything to do with sort of like, all right, is our house in order? Are we okay? I mean, it's just weird. You're just moving the pieces.
You know what's interesting? And I'm glad you pointed me towards the box score from last year. This was not part of our prep for the 15-minute podcast.
Yeah.
I'm looking at it now. You know who our leading pass catcher was
in
the playoff game? Yeah.
It couldn't have been Evans.
Leonard Fournette.
Yeah.
Five catches. No wonder I'm thinking that they might be able to get to him out of the backfield. Five catches, 44 yards. Cam Brate had the most yards in that game. Cam Brate did. 50.
Yeah. Yes. I remember him having a big game. Yeah.
But it was
Fournette,
five for 44 and one of the receiving touchdowns. Playoff Lenny was being born, and obviously we saw it continue the next week when we played Green Bay on the road. But I'd forgotten about that.
Well, and I wanted to double check and make sure I didn't have it wrong about the ugly loss. So while I said it to you, I thought it was 38-3. I looked it up and it was 38-3. And then that got me looking at both games, and that has me realizing that we were outscored 92-26 in two games against the Saints. That's unreal.
Yeah.
That's thorough butt stomping.
Yeah, yeah. The second one, the one in Tampa, was the troubling game because if you looked at play for play, the opening week of the season,
yeah, we
that's
were right
we
there.
Had,
we should have won that game. We lost by like 11 or whatever.
Old Sean had to open up the bag of tricks in order to make that work. They were not sustaining drives. Now, in the Sunday night football game in Tampa, they sustained drives. The question is, with Jameis, what can you do? Jameis did throw a touchdown pass in the playoff game, but that was a gadget.
Gadget
so
play.
What other gadgets do you have for this Bucs defense? Or, if you're Peyton, do you need them? because the Bucks are so banged up. He could scheme. He's like Dan Mullen playing this weekend in Jacksonville. Georgia is the prohibitive favorite, and they should be. But you're always afraid of a guy like that scheming together something for 1 week, one off. That, you know, it's against the grain. It's an outlier. But it's a performance that grabs your attention.
Yeah, don't turn it over. The Saints turn you over. That's how they've won games this year. It's not because of Jameis. And I'm a pro Jameis guy. He's played, he's not turning it over. Right. They do turn people over. They're top five in the league in turning people over.
They got a bunch of bums at receiver right now.
So, it's kind of like he's become content. I know Sean Payton has, without question, told him, look, our defense is good enough. We can win games. You just can't turn it over. And so he's, oddly, I never thought in my life I would say this, he's become a guy who is a check down Charlie at times. He just isn't. Now, he got screwed last week. He threw two beautiful balls down the field that they dropped in inclement weather. But, I hope he doesn't challenge the secondary. I'm a little concerned, but they don't have the weapons right now.
What's interesting about that particular player, Jameis Winston, is last week he did something that I had never seen him do.
Threw it away.
No, well, that's part of it.
Yeah.
But this is not when the ball's in play. Tre'Quan Smith was loafing like an a-hole. They go to the sidelines. Jameis screams him down for all the cameras to see.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently Sean Payton was happy about it because Sean turned his back to it, a little smirk, because Sean was climbing into Tre'Quan's derriere.
Yeah.
So Jameis chased him down and started berating him. That's something he never did in Tampa.
We used to beg him to.
Correct. But I wonder, though, because there's two sides to this, when Jameis is more emotional about a game, that goes back to college. Remember,
he gets out of sorts.
He didn't give a damn about playing Miami or Florida because he was an Alabama kid here in Tallahassee.
Mm-hmm.
Plays Auburn in the national title. I know they had our plays, but he also was pressing a little bit.
You could
tell it made a difference. When he played primetime games against legendary quarterbacks, New England, even the games against New Orleans, because he and Breeze were Mutual Admiration Society before he was a member of the Saints, he always pressed. And he tried to do too much, and he made careless throws and or looked flustered.
Let's see.
He said yesterday.
He's at home.
He said yesterday that he wants to beat the Bucks bad. Does that mean that his emotions spike to a place where you see the highs and the lows?
It's a good thing to look for. You're right. He has always had a few moments in a season where he's very emotional about a game for whatever reason, either admiration for the other quarterback or pressure of the moment, whatever it might be. You're right.
Remember early in his career against the St. Louis Rams before they had moved, there was a Thursday night game and Aaron Donald had gotten to him.
Mm-hmm.
Jameis flipped out, lost his stuff. I mean, even the New Orleans game when he was a Buck, the sideline incident with Evans, he got tossed. That was after eating the W's.
Tom's first guessing it. He's calling for a Jameis Winston meltdown out here.
I'm calling for the peaks and the valleys. I don't think we're going to see that landing in Denver Airport. You're not going to see the flat as a pancake surroundings.
I think
you're going to see when you get into Denver. You're going to see the mountains, the mountaintops, and the valleys.
I think the Bucks go on the road, get a win. I won't fancy a score, but I'll say that the Bucks go on a win and cover. I like Tampa this weekend.
I think this has a real chance to be in the high 30s or low 40s for a game total.
Wow.
For a total score.
Right.
I think this is going to be a slog fest. Just get through it on Halloween and go get your win.
Get the hell out of Dodge.
Yes, sir.
For Tom Lang, I'm Jeff Cameron. Thanks for listening, everybody. Don't forget about our friends at Bill Curry Ford. If you're out shopping around,
F-150s.
Boom.
Mustangs. 3, 2, 1.
Oh, man. Be good, everybody. Thanks for listening to Scuttlebucks.